Hello, this is Bricks and Mortar from EG. Today I'm talking to Shirley Waldron, a party wall surveyor at Delver Patman Redler LLP. She started her career in architecture before changing and going on to work on the Crossrail project. You're listening to Sarah Jackman. Shirley, many thanks indeed for joining me today. We're going to have a little look back on your career and really just look at the discipline of party wall surveying. Mm-hmm. You started your career not in party walls. You started right. As an architect.
Yes.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about how you first got engaged in the built environment?
Well, my love of architecture, I suppose, and my desire to go into the profession, to become an architect, started when I was very young. And in that respect, I feel I was quite lucky because a lot of my peers were uncertain as to their career path. And some of them still haven't really found it, amazingly. But I feel I was lucky because it was something I was committed to. And it meant that through my, you know, GCSEs and A-levels and really going right through my education, I could make decisions which meant that I was moving in that direction to becoming an architect. To become an architect, it's a 7-year course. I don't know if any of your listeners know that, but it really is a commitment. So you do a 3-year degree course, then you take a year in practice, you do a 2-year diploma, and then you have to do a further year in practice. So that makes a total of 24 months. And then you can take your professional exams. So it really is, you know, a commitment. But I was committed to it, and there we go. That's eventually where I, you know, managed to get my RIBA membership. So I am a chartered architect now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how long did you work in that profession for?
For about 15 years.
And you, working as an architect, and presumably developed a love of the built environment during
yes.
that time.
Mm-hmm.
How did you move into a slightly different discipline? How did you end up moving towards surveying?
Well, I think that, like a lot of women in the construction industry, when you have a baby, it's a bit of a game changer. You're nodding, so maybe that's true for you too. But I found that when I had my daughter, which is 20 years ago now, my career was sort of in pieces at my feet. And not to be too dramatic about it, I mean, that's just the way it was. But I decided at that point that I was going to make a change in my career and do something different. And actually, to begin with, I wasn't really sure what I would do. So I started my own practice, and my partner, who's now my husband at the time, he was also a qualified architect, and that's how we met. But we worked together. We started a practice, and he worked as an architect. And I sort of did what came my way, and I did some project management. I found that there was a chap who used to come to see my projects as a building control officer, and that was in Wandsworth. Some of my projects were in Wandsworth. And I decided that I was going to do that. It looked quite interesting. You know, you go around and look at other projects which are in progress, and you kind of have to think on your feet. So that was very interesting for me. I worked for Wandsworth as a building control officer for 3 years, and my patch was Tooting, which was a very steep learning curve, I have to say, because when you're an architect and you design and do drawings, to translate that into work on site, even though I had worked on a lot of big projects and been on site, as a building control officer, you have to know the approved documents inside out, and that was very interesting part of learning for me. I learned a lot on that job. But while I was there, I actually met somebody who said to me, come and work for us. I suppose I was basically headhunted. He knew me, he knew the way that I worked. And that's what I did. I went to originally work for a firm of party wall surveyors, Gordon Ingram Associates, to begin with. And that was in 2006, I think. And I was there for 3 years, then the recession hit. But by then I was in party walls, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do, or, you know, I wanted to continue my career in party walls. So really that's how I made that sort of segue. So it's not completely different. I mean, of course,
no.
I look at architects and engineers' drawings all the time, day to day. So it's not really that big a jump, but it is a small swerve into party walls, you're still in the construction industry, which is, I find, a very exciting place to be.
Mm. And so what sort of additional training did that require then in terms of making the leap between the two?
Well, really not that much, in that I was already in the construction industry. I knew, as I say, how to read drawings. I knew what structural engineers did. I suppose the difference was in the legislation, so the Party Wall Act, which is, you know, the act which governs all of our work as party wall surveyors. I didn't know anything about that until I started at Gordon Ingram Associates, but, you know, we had a good team and some very interesting projects there, and as I do at Delver Patman Redler, you know, we've got some extremely interesting projects there as well. So that helps, you know, you're engaged, you want to learn. There's always a team behind you, a development team if you're on the building owner's side, and also if you're on the adjoining owner's side, yes, you have the same development team that you can go to and ask questions and say, you know, can you clarify this? But yeah, I kind of knew what I was doing already, I suppose.
Okay. And I guess one career highlight for you has been the Crossrail project.
Yes.
You were involved in that. Are you able to explain a little bit about how you became involved in that?
Yes. Well, the Crossrail project was a career highlight for me, and I sort of still feel drawn to it. I mean, I know they have some problems, but I won't speak badly of Crossrail. You won't get that from me. Very interesting and lots to learn. It really was, you know, every day was a school day. That's a bit of a cliche, but so how did I get involved in it? Well, I did actually have an architect friend who worked at Crossrail, and this was right after I'd finished working at Gordon Ingram Associates, and he said to me, I'm working Crossrail, they don't really know what they're doing about party walls, so can you come in and have a talk with them about party walls and how that might affect their work? Now, that was in 2009, and yes, they at Crossrail, which is, it's a huge project, and Crossrail Limited was Secretary of State for Transport and Transport for London, and those two combined became Crossrail Limited. It's a very large company, I suppose, two government departments combined to make Crossrail. So I was slightly surprised that they had not thought about party wall matters. But they had the Act, the Crossrail Act, which they had referred to, and seen that certain sections of the Party Wall Act had been disapplied. But they were somewhat mistaken in they thought it none of it applied. It did actually apply, and it applied to demolition, and it applied to reconstruction. So the part that was disapplied was the digging, the tunnelling. And you can sort of understand why it would be disapplied. So they were somewhat mistaken in that the Party Wall Act did not apply across the board, really, because it did apply. And we went through the Act and looked at the areas where it did apply, and I was able to give them advice on how they might deal with their party wall obligations, which, you know, when you're looking at stations and vent shafts, and they had portals where the tunnel boring machines entered the ground, and other access shafts for men and materials which they'd introduced really in the West End and the busiest part of Europe, you could say, they were digging through. So it really was extremely challenging, and to think that you could do that without having to engage with the neighbours in some way was slightly misguided. So it was disapplied, as I say, but generally it wasn't. So in fact there was a huge obligation, they were in a hurry, and we were able to work together.
And how was it working on a major infrastructure project like that? Because, I mean, I'm presuming very different from perhaps, you know, the day-to-day architecture world that you previously come from, and then,
yes,
and then perhaps the day job in surveying.
Yes, it was an extraordinary opportunity that I had there, really, to work for Crossrail, you know, every day. It was kind of a lead-in, so I was working on it just 3 days a week, and then it became full-time quite quickly. and then it sort of tapered at the end. But generally, I was working on it for about 8 or 9 years.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. So,
yeah, very, very substantial involvement
then. Yeah, excellent. And, you know, to work with different professionals, you know, we were working with Arup and, you know, some very, I suppose, high-end engineers and architects working on the project, and the contractors, you know, they created these joint ventures, which meant that they had different contracts with Crossrail to do the work, and I got to go down the tunnels and see them all being constructed, and yeah, it was just amazing.
During that period then, I'm guessing that you must have acquired a huge number of skills, or certainly developed skills that you had previously. How do you feel that they developed over that period?
Well, there was something quite new which came to me during Crossrail, and that was the way that tunnelling and digging affected adjoining buildings, which of course is very tied up with my role as a party wall surveyor. But one of the things that I learned was that, you know, you can dig a tunnel and it can be like 40 metres below the buildings under which it runs. And you do see this extraordinary kind of fluid movement which manifests itself in, damage, I suppose, to the buildings above, certainly movement of the buildings above. And eventually you inevitably will get a little bit of damage. And the way that Crossrail compensated for that was amazing. They used this system called compensation grouting, which involved running tubes of grout underneath buildings with shallow foundations, basically pumping the grout out through the tubes so that the ground could be lifted. So the only way you would see that is with monitoring, and the buildings were highly monitored. You had these things called automatic total stations, which were fixed on buildings outside the zone of influence. And they would read the movement of the buildings, which had these targets and prisms fixed to them. And that's how you would see the movement. And I used to go to meetings where they would talk about the compensation grouting, and we would look at the monitoring for the last 2 weeks, for example. And you would see the effect of the compensation grouting, which meant that, you know, those buildings were no longer looking at, say, 15 millimetres of settlement, but more like 3 or 7, which was far more acceptable when you're looking at shallow foundations to historic buildings, buildings in conservation areas. That was, you know, a very interesting, I suppose, engineering aspect to be involved in, which I would never have had that involvement as an architect. I wouldn't have had that. But working on Crossrail, you get to see that. And of course, you take that forward as your experience into future projects, and you're able to provide advice to developers on settlement and how you know, their buildings are going to be affected. And of course, now every basement in London is monitored, or the adjoining buildings are monitored, just so you can see settlement and you can link that to potential damage, which is, you know, that's been a great, I suppose, tool in the box.
And then obviously you went back to your practice. How has that since evolved?
Well, since I've, at the tail end of the Crossrail project, I started working at Delver Patman Redler. Mm-hmm. And since then, I'm now partner there. Mm-hmm. So my own business, which I was running really while I was working on Crossrail as a means to do that work, being on contract to them, if you see what I mean, that has now tailed off, and we've closed our business. My husband has now gone on to work for another firm of architects, so he no longer needs our own practice. So the practice really was a vehicle for us to be able to do really what we wanted with our careers, and that flexibility was, you know, that was the intention from the very beginning, is that we would build that in flexibility. We worked from home. We had no kind of overheads, no premises or anything like that. Yeah, so that's worked out quite well.
Mm. And just thinking then of party wall surveying as a profession, how would you describe it? Who would it appeal to?
Well, anyone who's interested in the construction industry, really, who has, I suppose, a certain discipline, although if you saw my desk, you wouldn't think of. Yeah, so I say that tongue in cheek, but you do need a certain rigour as a party wall surveyor. You need to understand what happens when and the sequence of events, how you approach the problems and what you can do, what your remit is, in fact, because it's not limited, I would say, but it certainly has boundaries. So, for example, you know, if you're dealing with a basement, you have no say in, for example, the traffic management plan or the work that happens on the other side of the site, which you would if you were perhaps as an architect. You, of course, you know, you're involved in the whole building, but as a party wall surveyor, you have your sides.
Yeah.
As an adjoining owner surveyor, as a building owner surveyor, it's a bit more all-encompassing. So I suppose you have to have that rigour, really, to understand. You also have to have a bit of a legal mind, because you are drafting legal documents and agreeing them with another surveyor. And then you have to advise your owners of what they can do to either appeal the award that you've made or what rights they have. So, yeah, you have to have a quasi-legal mind, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how would you advise someone who is perhaps thinking potentially of moving into that as a particular discipline of surveying?
Mm.
How would they approach it?
Well, most party wall surveyors are qualified surveyors. I mean, I have to say that when I finally qualified as an architect, it did take me rather longer than the 7 years of the course. And that really was, I suppose, down to my own self-discipline. But I know that that is not a problem, but it's a choice, I suppose, that people make, is that, you know, they're not going to complete, they're not going to do their part three, they're not going to finally qualify. But I tell you, the satisfaction that you get from finally completing, so that people will say to you, for example, before you're qualified, yes, but are you really an architect, or are you just an architectural technician or something like that? And you have to admit, no, I'm not qualified. But then when you can say to them, yes, I am qualified, it's actually, you know, you have a pride in your achievement, and it really is worth it. So I would urge anybody who is thinking of getting into the construction industry to learn a discipline, to see it through, and to be able to say, yes, I am a qualified surveyor, yes, I am a qualified structural engineer, qualified architect, so that you can hold your head up with your peers and say, yes, you know, this is what I have done, this is what I'm bringing my expertise and my discipline, my rigour to the table, to work with you as other team members. And I think that's quite important. That was important to me, anyway, when I'd done it.
And so looking back, you obviously take great pride in having qualified as an architect. How do you feel about the move out of architecture and into party wall surveying? Are there any regrets?
None at all. I still get to work on some fantastic schemes with great groups of architects and structural engineers, lawyers as well, of course, and developers. I mean, the role of the party wall surveyor is important, but it's not the most important thing. I suppose architects still add value. And I have the greatest respect for architects. I mean, not least because, some of them are my best friends. So I know that as the architect, you add the most value to a project. You know, if you think of the difference between a building site and a finished product, a finished building, you know, it's the architect whose name is remembered. Sometimes it's a structural engineer, of course, but, you know, you just look around where we are here in Bishopsgate, you know, and the architects that you've got and their buildings. So whilst I don't really have any regrets not still working as an architect, and perhaps that's something for another podcast, but yeah, I'm quite happy with my role in the team as a party wall surveyor.
Shirley, on that very positive note, thank you very much indeed for your time today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much indeed for inviting me.
That was Bricks and Mortar from EG with Sarah Jackman. For more information on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com and egi.co.uk.